Oh, welcome in to all my Heritage homies for this week's Wednesday live chat. Questions, answers, concerns, thoughts, tangents, stories, etc., etc. All of that will be happening for the next hour or so. It's your time. Drop those questions, concerns, and comments in the chat right now. I don't really care what you want to talk about. We'll go through weather and one and done and pivots and deep dives. And if you just want me to sit here and talk about the Masters for the next hour, I will do that as well. But let's get to some of the stuff immediately out of the gate. And we have agreed as a community that we will start with weather. And then we will go to ownership projections for one and done. That way, we don't have to cover them every 5 minutes. We just reference everything back to the start of the show. I'm certainly no meteorologist, but this is a pretty clean Thursday and Friday around Hilton Head, right? Sunny, mostly sunny, maybe a little bit of clouds. Not a real significant chance of rain until Friday night and into Saturday, and then the weekend is kind of a different story. There's you know, chance of rain the entirety of the weekend. When you look at the wind, it is basically non-existent. Now, this can change off of Calabogie Sound, right? Which is always a fun thing to say, but it is at most 8 or 9 miles an hour, picking up mostly in the afternoons and evenings, not staying around very long, very, very consistent. That does change on Sunday and into Monday, but hopefully we do not have to worry about that. So this is, for our purposes, predicting if there are going to be any wave advantages. I'm going with probably not, based on this format that we have, a forecast that we have right now. Sorry, I'm still trying to get back on West Coast time and get everything all situated in my brain from being on the road last week. Here are the projected ownerships for the RBC Heritage one and done wise. Four pretty clear names at the top here and spread out. Tommy Fleetwood, 16%, Patrick Cantlay at 15, 10 and 10 for Matthew Fitzpatrick and Xander Schauffele, then everybody else in single digits. Noting Rory McIlroy, 1.2, Jordan Spieth, 2.6, Justin Thomas, 0.3, Scottie Scheffler, 0.3. Yeah, very little usage from those guys. We'll talk more about some bigger one-and-done strategy in just a little bit. Someone did say, do you have any Punta Cana one-and-done projections? Yeah, here they are. So Nikolai Højgaard getting the vast majority of the selections. I guess it's a minority, but it is a plurality? Why can't I say that word? 33%, 23% for Alex Noren, 12% for Billy Horschel, and sub 5% for everybody else in the field. All right, let's get to your questions, concerns, and comments. Philip says, what's up, brother? Do you back test your current model, last year's placement, or look at last year's model for insight into key stats you didn't realize may have been helpful? The short answer is yes. The longer answer is I need to do more of it. I've been stockpiling a lot of the results and things that I run, more on that in a second, for a larger analysis. I need the time and energy to do that. I have not gotten around to it yet, to do something much, much larger. The other thing is, and I've said this before, like, I don't save any of your guys's models, which I think is important because I don't want to know who you're playing, what the lineups are. That's a very slippery slope for people like me. So I don't save any of your stuff. So really what I'm comparing it against is the models that I put out, and then saying what would have been the optimal type of model. So a couple of answers there. Hey, Rick, thoughts on Sepp Straka? Extremely accurate driver, can seem to find greens, seems to fit the mold. All right, let's jump into this. This is the golfer profiles on my website, rickrungood.com. It's a giant database and tools for fantasy golf and golf betting. Sepp Straka, the reason that Coleman likes Sepp Straka is because he's accurate off the tee, fourth in driving accuracy, 25th in distance from edge of fairway, and he is not very long, which in theory should not matter as much here. These are tree-lined fairways, tree-overhanging fairways. You not only need to be in the fairway, but often with the correct angle into these very small greens. So it is an accuracy contest. Point A to point B, not bomb and gouge. We have seen some guys take different angles, try to cut off some of it to varying levels of success, but one of the stronger correlators to success over the years here is driving accuracy. So we have identified Sepp Straka as one of those golfers. Now, what do we know? What else can we find here? He is a little bit volatile on the second shot. So we saw at the Players Championship, he gained 4.5 strokes on approach. That led to a top 16 finish. We saw a 3.5 strokes gained at the Masters. That led to another T16. The short game is a little bit worrisome, both aspects of it, both around the green and putting. I want to look at one thing real quick. So he does not, he three putts a lot. Now he should get a little bit of an advantage here because it's very difficult to three putt on greens this small. It's just very, very hard to do with smaller the greens. Three putt percentages come down. I still worry about his ability to put the ball in the cup, but that's kind of a different story. The other thing I'd be more worried about is around the green play, which is not great. And if you do start missing greens around here, they're not difficult areas around the greens, but you are going to need to be able to get up and down. So a little bit worried there, but I think Coleman, you are on to something. Can we get a deep dive on Taylor Moore? Sure. Got off to a very good start at the Masters. I think he was, it's actually kind of hard to follow the golf when you're at the tournament because of the no phones and manual leaderboards, but he was definitely on the manual leaderboard for quite some time. He ended up finishing T20. So now we've got a stretch of golf and we've been eyeing Taylor Moore for weeks, where it's a very solid stretch. That goes back to the start of 2024. I mean, his 2024 has been great. Let's just actually do this. Everybody in this field since the start of 2024, I don't think he's going to be like the best player in the world, but I think you're going to be pretty surprised about where Taylor Moore winds up here. So since Jan 1, Taylor Moore, where are we going to find him? Here. 0.59 strokes per round. That is basically, it is right in between Tony Finau and Colin Morikawa. Okay. So I can say to you with statistical certainty that Taylor Moore has been as good or better than Tony Finau and Colin Morikawa. Okay. And you're getting a pretty good price discount. This is a very underrated player, in my opinion. Hey, Rick, 2 rounds into season long best ball. What are your thoughts on roster construction? I was very successful in round 1, but got crushed in the second because my highest picks barely played. Yeah. So I ran into kind of a similar issue. Even in round 1, there was an event where I can't even remember what the event was, but like maybe it was Cognizant. No, because Cognizant was like a sneaky good field, I think, where like I didn't have anybody playing. And it's just devastating. So we're going to have to do a better job next year of, I don't even know, trying to predict, directing two different teams. Because if you had people playing in whatever tournament that was that I'm thinking of, you basically auto advanced to the next round. Because there were a lot of people who just had zero golfers playing. It is why I've been enjoying. So I did, I got about 48% of my major championship teams through on Underdog through round 1, which was great. Obviously to get, basically half of them through was awesome. I had a very good Masters from that regard. That's why I liked the majors one better on Underdog. They are still doing though. They've still got they have a return. So let me see this here. They have a PGA return. So this starts this week and runs until, so let's see if I can find the schedule real quick. Of course I can. Oh, here it is. It's 3 rounds. So that might be a little bit easier to predict the schedules. So I'm with you. I'm with you there. I got smoked in round that one event of round 1 and in round 2, though hoping to make up for it with some good major championship teams. If you want to get into those drafts, or I mean, I'll do props in a little bit. The code is Rick on Underdog. That gets you a deposit match. It helps me, helps you. There's a link in the description. You can check it out from there. Thanks again for Pool Genius. I won a chance to buy a bottle of Pappy, which I did for March Madness. Cool. Yeah, I don't know what Pappy is, but Pool Genius, they've been doing it for a long time. I would not support them if I didn't think what they did was good. It's not going to work every time, right? But it's about taking little edges. We talk about this all the time. Little statistical mathematical advantages over your peers for either best ball, for NFL, for golf, for majors, for one and done. Like they've got the data tools that I like, and I think it's pretty good. Here's a question in regards to, is it Taylor Moore or is it Cam Davis? And Coleman is struggling here to decide. So Cam Davis catching about 13% of the projected ownership right now. Taylor Moore catching about 15%. The really good stuff from Cam Davis, I wonder how sustainable it is. Honestly, you know, Moore has been a lot more consistent in 2024. But both of these guys, I think, are fairly good options. Oh, here's Brandon, who says, how sticky is course history this week? People assume Siwoo because it's a die track, but he hasn't been good here. Opposite with Spieth and Cantlay. Do you think their course history trumps their form? Yeah, so this is, Augusta National is the, the holy grail of sticky course history. But I think that this is on the upper end of things, especially because of the unique nature of this golf course, right? There are not a lot of golf courses in which driving accuracy correlates more to success than driving distance does. There are not a lot of golf courses that are going to play to what, 7,200 yards as a par 71 or whatever it is. There's not a lot of courses where when you hit it in the fairway, you may or may not have a clear path to the green. And obviously these are some of the smallest putting surfaces that we get. So all of those unique factors, I do think that you should rely a bit more on course history this week than you normally would. And we've got some good stuff here, right? I mean, Cantlay's been phenomenal. Davis has been good. Poston, Fleetwood, Jordan Spieth, which scares the crap out of me, but there are a lot of guys with significantly good course history. And thanks for being a member there of the YouTube channel, Brandon. Says, what's your betting card? I'll admit, Clinton, I've done nothing yet. You know, Monday I was doing Masters recap stuff. I was still in Augusta. I flew back on Tuesday. It is now Wednesday. So I'm significantly behind on that type of stuff. I have not made a single bet. I have not made a single lineup yet. That's what I'll be doing after this show. I have not put in any one and done selections. I've done nothing yet. If I were to guess right now, I think Xander will probably make the card. I think Bezuidenhout will probably make the card. I kind of need to go from there. I want to see what the best number I could get on Wyndham Clark is. I think he's a decent one and done option as well. You know, missing the cut at the Masters is not necessarily a bad thing. He won at Pebble Beach, which is a very point A, point B, club down, small greens type of golf course. Obviously that's kind of where the similarities end, but you get where I'm going here. I've not gotten to commit to anything yet, but something in that ballpark. Have been following you all season. Thank you. Joined the site yesterday. Cool. Awesome. Question on round one underdog $5 entry fees. How would you go about using your tools for best options? Okay. So there's a lot of different ways. You know, you could use the Holy Grail for round one stuff. You could use the power rankings for strokes gain distribution, how often golfers are gaining X to the field. So if you want safer guys, you're looking for how often they gain one or more stroke to the field. If you want more volatility, more upside, you're looking for how often they gain, you know, five or more strokes to the field. And you can open up that range for however many rounds that you want. You could use the head-to-head matchups tool if you're trying to decide between two golfers. So that would be like the first three places to start and going from there. Been having trouble trying to find tournament pivots. Found two I might like, Keegan in the low sevens and Grillo in the sixes. Thoughts on these two guys? Yeah, I've been waiting. Let's get a temperature check on Keegan. I've been waiting for the Keegan breakout because I think he's too good of a golfer to be playing this poorly for as long as he has been. I think he flew up the leaderboard on Sunday. He did. Had a really awful start to the Masters. Was great on round two, which, by the way, very, very windy on Friday. Incredibly windy on Friday. To go up and post four strokes to the field, like that, he's a flusher. And he is. And he gained 4.2 on approach. Did it again on Sunday. So that's pretty encouraging to get back in like that. That's his DNA. So that's pretty encouraging. Let's just check on Grillo real quick. And yeah. He was brutal at the Masters. He missed the cut. Round two was, it might've been the worst round of anybody in the field. I worry about the around the green play. I worry about the softening in the ball striking numbers. Let's just see what his history is here real quick. I think it's pretty good, or maybe I'm confusing that with somebody. No, it's pretty good. Well, it's volatile, but good. T7 cut, T2 cut in his last four. I think it's Keegan between those two. Something about that Grillo one worries me. Thoughts on Brian Harman? Safe travels home. Yep, all good now. So much appreciated, but will not probably be back on the road until the PGA Championship. Actually, I don't know if I mentioned that. We're going to run it back. CBS Sports, we're going to Valhalla, baby. So I'll be at the PGA Championship. Very excited about that. Pretty concerning stuff here. You know, Brian Harman to be losing multiple strokes on approach, not only in three straight, but in 5 of 7. And I realized what he did in the middle was really good, but those were the two events that he played in Florida, which is kind of a different style of golf. This is pretty troublesome. And also, as good as he should be here, I don't think he has a good record. No, I lied. It's pretty good. T7, T35, T13, T28. He's never won it, but he's got some good finishes. I really, really do not like seeing Brian Harman hemorrhage that many strokes on approach. Welcome home. Who is the producer's play of the week? Yeah, I don't have Mina this week. I don't know. She is not here. I don't know if she's watching. I doubt she's watching. And I did not get a pick from her in advance. Who did she pick last week? So it was Akshay at Texas. And did she pick Siwoo last week? Is that right? He had an okay week, didn't he? Made the cut. I honestly don't know who her pick is. My apologies. What do you think the ideal total ownership percentage for this type of event in a single entry contest? Okay, so 69 golfers, no cut. So you are going to have kind of some steeper ownerships in general. I would say 80%. Is what I would go with. Hey, Rick, great work at Augusta. Thank you. I'm getting worried about the Hovland to live rumors. When he's right, he's one of the couple guys on tour lead enough to give Scotty a consistent challenge. I'm not too worried about that. I've not spoken to him about it personally, but Victor is kind of he drums to a different beat. I know he smiles a lot, but he's kind of a killer. And I really think all he cares about is major championships. Like, I think that's all he cares about. And I would actually be more concerned about him going to live if he was already a major champion, right? If he had just won the Masters or something like that, I'd almost be more concerned because that would lock up his major championship status for a while. But I really don't think. I would be flabbergasted. I would be jarred if he or Rory went to live, barring some huge agreement that brings all of these entities together in a way that I have very little confidence the people negotiating can figure that out. I'm not worried about that. I would be jarred. I've been jarred before. Will the new Rick Rungood mascot make an appearance? Do you see him over my head? Gnome power, baby. There he is. I got. I sat there all week and said, this stupid gnome, how can people be waiting in line for hours to get this gnome? How can they do that? And then as the week went on and I saw everybody getting their gnomes, I was like, man, it's not that. I mean, it's pretty good. I have a backdrop. Like, I kind of like when stuff's back there. I think he looks good. And then finally on Sunday, I said, all right, I'm here early enough anyway, because they sell out like 10 minutes after gates open, and we're not allowed. We are not. So you get no special privileges at Augusta National. Nobody does. Like, you're not allowed on the course before patrons are. You're not allowed in the pro shop before patrons are, like, all that stuff. So I was out there when gates opened and I just went right in. It took me 5 minutes. I just went right through the line because I was one of the first people there. It was a madhouse. I picked up the gnome. And I'm happy I did. I'm not going to lie. Wednesday, I thought it was the dumbest thing. Sunday, I'm in. Gnome, baby. Is this the cheapest Sungjae has ever been? Boy. Honestly, maybe. $7,300. So let's look at this. Holy Grail. I've got salaries back to, I think, 19. So let's do Sungjae. No, it's not the cheapest he's been, but it is the cheapest that he has been. What did I say he was? 73? I can't believe I just forgot already. Yeah, 73. This is the cheapest he's been since. I'm scrolling. Wow. Okay. He was 7,300 at the 2020 Tour Championship, but that doesn't really count because Tour Championship stuff is always weird because of the staggered start. All right. Basically the cheapest he's been since the 2019 BMW Championship. So not ever, but, a long, long time. Should we be pivoting in the 6K range? Well, let's see what the projected ownerships of the 6K range are. So actually here's what I'll do. Watch this. I'm going to open up the tab. I'm going to say, just give me the 6K range. And then I'm going to close the tab and sort by projected ownership. So Glover catching the majority of it. Again, it's not a majority. 13.5. Ekrot 9. Mackenzie Hughes 7. Nick Taylor 7. So really the only option would be, are you going to pivot off of Lucas Glover? I wouldn't mind. Eric Cole feels a little dirty, but I wouldn't mind it. Even Grillo. Right. If you were looking for a volatile, like we already talked about how there's enough good. I think Keegan's still better, but half the ownership is Glover and plenty of upside. If you were looking for something more volatile, if you're looking for safety, I don't think you'd pivot off of Glover to Grillo. The producer gave a pick of Siwoo last week and switched to John Rahm after the live show. I wouldn't. Yeah, she's definitely tries to break the rules in her own favor. Although didn't see, I honestly do not know what Siwoo finished last week, but yeah, it's interesting. Steven, appreciate you, new member to the YouTube channel. So I'm in the process right now. I'm editing the behind the scenes masters video. So what I said I would do for the YouTube channel is, if you're a member of the YouTube channel, I'll, you know, try to prioritize your questions and comments. You'll get access. So what I want to do is I want to kind of vlog and do behind the scenes stuff when I go to these championships. So I do have a Masters one. I'm editing it right now and I hope to have it out. I mean, maybe even tonight or tomorrow. It's weird because I couldn't, you know, I have to be careful about what I show and all that stuff, but hopefully I'll get a lot for Valhalla and stuff as well. So it should be good. Can you do a deep dive on Lowry, please? Yeah, surely. I think Lowry's pretty good. Short game struggles. I don't care if you lose 7 strokes putting at the Masters. That is certainly within the range of outcomes. He's a much better putter in general. Played in Singapore, T29. Got to have the live data. Got to have the Euro data. Got to have rickrungood.com. Players finished T19. Yeah. And plus you add in the course history, right? Which is why I assume that's how you like first start to look at Shane Lowry. 67th, 3rd, 9th, missed the cut, and then finished 3rd in on Lowry. Any thoughts on early PGA Championship winner? No. Betting card mentioned it. I'll get to it later. How would you rank these three? Without knowing, Homa, Fitzpatrick, Lowry, it's probably Fitzpatrick, Homa, Lowry. I gave this update, so 48% I got through in the majors. Hey, Rick, for anyone who might be dumb enough to have not used Scottie Scheffler in one and done, would it be foolish to roll him out this week? I somewhat worry about eventual post-baby Scottie. Yeah, so do I, man. Listen, there's a couple that I have not used Scottie in, and the ones that I've used Scottie in, I've gotten basically the absolute minimum I could have gotten. I think it was the T10 at Riviera I used him a lot. I've just misused Scottie so frequently. This week scares me because this is so nuts that we're trying to like predict the way a baby is good. Like, is Meredith going to go into labor this week? Is he going to withdraw? I don't know. Is he going to be struggling? Like, is the baby going to sleep well and keep Scottie up and going to keep, I have no idea. Right. Like, this is insane that we're trying to predict this, but I think if you haven't used Scottie yet, I'm probably just going to wait. PGA Championship, US Open. I think the Travelers is another signature event this year. This one feels like the worst time to use him. If you haven't already used him, he might win again. I don't know, but he's, you know, you already haven't gotten those wins either, earlier wins either. So probably waiting. And by the time we get to the PGA, by the time we get to the Travelers, by the time we get to the US Open, I assume everyone, like you're going to get, like there's only going to be 15% of people who have Scottie available to use. When looking at a tournament, do you prefer to look players' stats, ranked against everyone on tour or just that week's field? So just that week's field is kind of new to me, right? That's something that I just started putting into this this version of the golfer profiles and stuff. So it's like easier for my brain to wrap around what their ranks on tour are. But the more I go into it, I've gotten better at using field. I mean, I think in general, field should be what you're using if you care about the field. How long or time-wise do you believe is an accurate measure to determine current form? When I ran the analysis on this in the offseason, 36 rounds was the highest correlated number of rounds for success. Do you think Morikawa is still searching for something? Yeah, I do. It is not pretty watching him play. And it used to be a masterpiece. It used to be a symphony. Now it is a, what's the opposite of a symphony? Somebody banging on the trash cans, Doug Funny style, right? I mean, it is just, there are shots that even might end up well, or might hit. Like he's wiping shots. He's wiping iron shots. It's just not coming off the club the same. It's really not. And we have seen him muster a couple of like out of the blue major championship, really good finishes, right? Remember when he was playing a draw at Brookline and he had the 36 hole lead. So he has been able to do this, and he switches putters after round one and then starts to putt the lights out. But I think what happened is when you're already kind of in between and pressure gets ramped up on Sunday at a major, you start to get exposed a little bit. I hope that we are going to get a better version of him, but man, it does not necessarily pass the eye test. Hey Rick, how do you play DFS with it being illegal in Nevada? Most people know I spend a lot of time between California and Nevada. So when I'm in one, I do what's legal there. When I'm in the other, I do what's legal there. So bets versus betting. And I'm constantly spending time in both of those areas. Cam Davis, JT Poston, EVR, Grillo, all in the top 10 on Rick Run Good Holy Grail for Harbortown. Question is, which one of them is most likely to win outright? Ooh. Ah, boy. So, oof. It might be Post. Is Poston like the most... Is he the biggest winner of those guys? Cam Davis has what? One win. Grillo has one. EVR. Or Grillo might have two. EVR has one. Man, that's actually a very good question. I think it's either Davis or Grillo. We already looked at Grillo's profile and it's very risky, which is, I guess, is good for your question. I'd lean Davis. Very, very, I mean, it's a very good question. Lean Davis, Grillo next. Maybe then it's EVR. Poston's, I guess, a little bit more consistent. That's a pretty good question there. Well done. Patrick Rogers or Putnam? I'll admit I'll have to go and get me a little deep dive on these guys. Oof. What do we, I don't remember. Do we remember why Rogers withdrew? At Texas, was he hurt or was he just playing poorly? Played poorly in Houston, played poorly at Valspar, played poorly at the Players. I can't imagine. I don't know what what profile we're going to see in which it's not going to be Andrew Putnam. But let's take a peek, see. This isn't great either. But at least, okay, so this is actually pretty interesting. Fairway through green, Putnam's pretty good. Now, what I want to see when I scroll down, because he loses a ton of strokes off the tee, I want to see him losing strokes because of distance and not because of accuracy. Is that true? Yes, it is. He is 162nd in clubhead speed, 183rd in driving distance, 68 in accuracy, and 11th in distance from edge of fairway. So this is Putnam all day long. Rick, awesome content as usual. Thank you. I'm interested in playing a top 20 parlay with four golfers down the board for a larger payout. I think I'm obligated to say, like, that's probably not a great idea. However, I'm not going to spend your money. I just want everyone to be responsible. See that Jonte Porter stuff? Unbelievable. It's believable because he was very bad at it. But wow. So if I were you, oh, I lost my spot. If I were you, Carson, and I'm not, but if I were you and I wanted to have a little fun and I wanted to go a little bit farther down the board, I would probably go, where'd my cheat sheet go? Right here. I would probably go with something like, so we're talking about top 20s. Taylor Moore, Keegan Bradley, Matthew Pavone, who is criminally mispriced, and Mackenzie Hughes. Good luck. Had a great Masters, nice, especially on underdog. In large part to you, I pay my finder's fee monthly. Appreciate it. Two guys that fit this week's coddling well. I'm not sure I understand this. Foot power, fit, Y trend, Straka / McPutts. Yeah, I think if I understand what you're saying, I think you're in on Straka and Denny, which would be good. Eric Cole. What does Eric Cole do best? Well, in his prime, when he's vibing. Oh, I did it again. When he's vibing, he is a great second shot player and great putter. However, we have not had that version of him since Florida. He's also not very accurate off the tee, in which is going to be a problem. This dude is just off the rails. I think we got to get him back. We got to get him back. This is tough for me. Another question about Eric Cole. I'm currently in the money in an unnamed one and done. I have Cantlay available, but wondering if there was another spot to possibly save him for. This might be a good time to talk like larger one and done strategy. So, TPC River Highlands would be decent. Scottish Open, Mirfield Village. I mean, he's better at Mirfield than he is at Harbortown, strokes gained wise. I think he's only played Detroit Golf Club once though. So I would have no problem if you want to use him here, but if you're going to save him, I think Mirfield Village, the Scottish Renaissance Club, or River Highlands would probably be your better options. So here's my pool genius. Again, this is custom to me. What you need to do is go sign up. There's a free trial. I think it's actually discounted too because of my relationship with the guys at Pool Genius. So they're pretty generous here. Go get this for yourself. You can use it for major pools as well. You can use it for, I mean, they've got NFL stuff that's over my head, but they've got it. March Madness, it's good stuff. Patrick Cantlay is my number one on the short list, my highest graded golfer for this week. You know, he's going to win this golf tournament as much as anybody not named Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. I've already used Scottie Scheffler. This being one of the best spots for him, this being a large purse, it does give me a lot of Patrick Cantlay. So I'll probably roll Cantlay out in most spots. I am a little bit worried about Colin, who is my second highest graded golfer left. I would use Tommy. I'd be happy with Tommy. Rory, have we not even discussed Rory McIlroy yet? The fact that Rory McIlroy is currently at 9% projected ownership in DFS and 0.2 in one and dones, his ownership has actually doubled since our last run. He was at 5% in our last projected ownership. This is the biggest purse we have left. Right? Because we're through the players. So it's ties for the big, I mean, why are we not playing Rory again? Cause he doesn't play this event. Are we saving him? I guess you could be saving him, but it is pretty crazy. What's going on there with Rory. He's my fourth highest graded golfer. I mentioned it earlier. Excuse me. If you were really desperate, Wyndham Clark is kind of interesting. And I saw there was a question coming up about Wyndham Clark. I'll get to that in a second. So I think you need to put this in for your own, you know, you need to put in how many people are in your pool and all that stuff. But, Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood, Rory, Wyndham Clark is probably that's probably where I'm going in most situations. I'll do Wyndham Clark real quick. Here's the thing. Wyndham Clark is a winner. He's won three huge events in the last year. He has won a signature event. He's guaranteed four rounds. He played fine last week, but he lost 3.5 strokes putting. You're going to do that at Augusta National on your first trip. I don't care about that. Gained a stroke ball striking. He is, when hot, scorching hot. I already talked about how he won at Pebble Beach and how that's a shorter golf course with small greens, playing point A to point B. Like, Wyndham. Is that an Arizona Coyotes hat? It is. Thoughts on the team's move to Salt Lake? So I'm not like a, I'm a very, very casual hockey fan, right? I like to go to Ducks games. I like to go to Knights games. I casually follow it. I think the couple things about the reason I bought this hat is because, one, with the Mighty Ducks, it's one of the greatest like original old school logos, right? Which is just sick. Secondly, I am so sick of owners of sports teams like just getting whatever they want from organization, from leagues and from fan bases and from taxpayers and all that stuff. I don't know the specific situation in Arizona. It sounds like the owner might retain the branding and then sell the team to the league, and then they're going to sell it to ownership in Salt Lake City. I don't know. Salt Lake City should have a team, sure. Should Arizona, has Arizona had the best, like, you can't get them a stadium. They're having to play in a collegiate. I don't know. I don't know all the details here, but it seems like the fans have gotten the raw end of the deal, which is always what happens. And it is reflect. I mean, the same thing's happening in golf right now, right? Fans are just getting the middle finger from everybody. I've firmly said before, there is just no reason taxpayers should ever fund billionaire stadiums. They did it in Vegas. I wasn't happy about that. They did it in a little better way in Vegas, where they're just passing the funds on to tourists and adding a 0.88% tax on every hotel room in the city. Fine. But I think it's BS. And I think fans get the short end of all of it. And it sucks. So I'm sorry, Coyotes fans. I support you via this hat. Rick, my one and done is doing RBC and Corrales this week. Morikawa or Fleetwood and Matty Schmidt or Ben Martin? I would go Fleetwood and Matty Schmidt. Heritage homie here. Cantlay has a great course history, but has not been modeling well for me. How are we feeling about Cantlay? Very good about it. I'm diving in to try to get my early thoughts on Tom Hoagie. Yeah, there's something very strange with Tom Hoagie right now. I'm pretty sure he is like one or 1A of approach players. It's like Scotty and him in 2024. The approach numbers are absolutely bonkers, insanely good. On paper, he should shred this place. In reality, where we live, he's been miserable. 4 out of 5 cuts, a T25 is his best finish. I do not know what the hell this is about. I'm all fired up now. Is it possible this place just doesn't suit the eye? I mean, that's possible. That is a real thing in golf. And this would be an extreme example of it. What are people doing with Tom Hoagie? Are they 10% projected ownership? Yeah, I say, like, I would be shocked if he missed the cut again. But it does severely worry me. Should be a good spot for Finau. Are people avoiding him after his disaster Sunday? Is there any reason not to play him? Interesting. Yeah, it is a deep field. You do get a lot of really great options here. Loses a ton of strokes putting at the Masters. Again, I don't care about that. Loses a ton around the green. Fine. Houston, he didn't putt well. We still got to get the putter figured out. You know, I can forgive him for Augusta. I can't forgive him for the 10 starts before that. Ball striking is very good. Has he played here before? I don't remember him being a Harbor Town guy. Maybe 2020 when they came back from COVID. Played here in 23. So last year, 34. Okay, so three finishes in the 30s. Yeah, I'm like lukewarm on that. 6.5, 7 out of 10, something like that. Sam Burns has not been very good. There's a question about a deep dive there. I've been in on Sam Burns. It has not really panned itself out. 2 straight missed cuts. The one at Valspar is very, very ugly considering his record there. This was going in the wrong direction, right? He was treading in the right direction from the start of 2024. And then he kind of peaks at Riv. And then it's not as good at API, not as good at players. A very horrible miscut at the Valspar and a miscut at the Masters. I will probably need to see a little bit of something out of Sam Burns. I'm here for Rick Rungood's food reviews. Of Augusta National. So here's the thing. The pimento cheese, I can do without. All right, it's fine. A little too cheesy. I don't know if it's like mayo or whatever. It's whatever. I'm not a big cheese guy anyway, so it probably wasn't for me. Had one of those the entire week, and it was like, I'll never do this again. The classic chicken sandwich, which is literally just a fried chicken sandwich in between two pieces of bun, served chilled. The first 12 of those I ate, I didn't like it chilled. The next 12, I did like it chilled. I really got used to it. And when it was hot out, that was a very nice thing. Master's Club was pretty good. The desserts and the cookies, insanely good. All the cookies, nuts. The sandwich, the Georgia peach ice cream sandwich or whatever, unfreaking believable. It was top notch stuff. Can we talk about Matthew Pavone? We can, because we should. I think I said earlier, most mispriced golfer. What are we doing here, guys? Why are we not getting Pavone? What's the respect level here? T7 and Sony win the Farmers, probably could have won Pebble Beach, point A, point B, fifth in Singapore, 12th at the Masters, had a couple of rough finishes in Florida. What are we doing? Since the start of 20, I'll go back to that same thing. What did I do? Holy Grail, start of 2024, wasn't I? Pavone, here are the best players in the world in this field. In 2024, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Matthew Pavone. He has gained as many strokes to the field as Ludwig has. He has won an event. He has finished third at an event that was cut short after 54 holes and will play at least somewhat similarly to this one. He's coming off a 12th at the Masters. What are we doing? He is either like, I just don't know. It just doesn't add up, right? Maybe he stinks and maybe DraftKings knows it and everybody knows it. But what is not adding up here? Who do you like more this week, Siwoo or Connors? Siwoo by a hair. Hey, Rick, seems like this could be a week that Scotty wins and possible he is not in the optimal lineup due to his price. No, the winner, first off, Scotty has been in the optimal lineup whether he has won or not almost every single time he's teed it up. The optimal lineup from last week was, no surprise, but Scotty, Morikawa, Fleetwood, Højgaard, DeChambeau and Chris Kirk. This is from my newsletter. I put the optimal lineup in every week, and then I have a bunch of other fun stuff in there. It's absolutely free. RickRunGood.com/newsletter. There's a link in the description. I've even been turning down ads. I've gotten the platform that I use does a lot of great, like, hey, put some ads for other newsletters in. They pay for every click or whatever. I've turned those down because I've said this is 100% free, and I want it to kind of remain that way. And I, you know what? One of the things I really took away from Augusta National and the Masters is I want to make sure I'm doing things that I'm either 100% in on, committed to, and I want it to be absolutely perfect or not at all, right? Like the experience there and the attention to detail and the way that they are not selling out every chance they can, it's admirable. Now, it's easy to be admirable when you're going to sell $80 million in merch and you're going to have, you know, whatever, okay? But I think there is a good business and life lesson in that. So I think what you'll see me continue to do is try to make things, do less things and try to make them really, really good when I do them. So no ads on the newsletter. I don't like it. It's free, right? Go enjoy it. I lost my spot. Okay. So I want to spend a second on Will Zalatoris. Man, he was hovering a bit. He was hovering a bit last week. Finished T9. Still, we got to get the putter figured out, right? That was the cheat code. When he unlocked the putter at the start of 2024, the broomstick, that was the cheat code. He loses that. He's now just back to being elite ball striking like 2022 Will Zalatoris, which is great. That's awesome. He's got a ton of major championship stuff in there, but it's not that extra juice that we were getting. But I still think he's very live this week. I'm offering some tasty boosts each round during majors. I use 2 of 4. Well, Scotty, any way to, advice on how to maximize boosts, 20 to 30% on any boost, $500 max. Yeah. A lot of that's personal preference though, right? Like, you know, in theory, you could just be taking small dogs and turning them into small favorites, right? And that's probably the best way to use it. However, taking Scotty from 4 to 1 to 6 to 1 is like cooler, right? Or taking somebody from 100 to 1 or 120 to 1 is cooler. So unfortunately, it's kind of a lot of personal preference there, Brent. Do you know who was on Tommy's? Oh, who's on Tommy's bag this week? I don't. I'll voice this again. I've said this before. Two things that if anybody wants to compile these, I'd be happy to find a way to get them onto the website for everybody. Caddies every week. I'll put them in the database and you can see changes and who was on whose bag and all that fun stuff, which that is available. Sometimes I get them. I don't get them every single week though. I need them for every single week, obviously. And there was something else. I forgot. I think it's equipment. If anybody out there has got like equipment changes, or maybe it wasn't equipment, something else, I will get that into the website so that we can all use it. Thoughts on Fleetwood, big in. did you get to see the jacket and trophy ceremony that was outside of the Masters? Yeah. So what we had to do was, so we did our post round hit for CBS Sports HQ. We were set up at the par 3 course, which is, I got my steps in last week, man. First off, that property is massive and hilly, and the par 3 course is like a pretty far walk. So when we were done and we came back up, they were doing the ceremony, which was pretty cool. Do you have time to do a 10 to 15 minute Master Thoughts video? What I'm going to do is I'm going to put it as like a member video. One, because that was the promise. I'll do the behind the scenes stuff. And two, because honestly, I think the fewer eyes, the better. I don't know what I'm going to be allowed to. So I'm just kind of just like, you know, putting it behind the member thing kind of makes me feel better about never being banned. So I'm just going to do it that way. So I've got all the clips. I'm putting it together right now. What merch did you get? I got a lot. It is being delivered today. I'll tweet a photo. So I shipped it from there, which is another just awesome thing. I shipped it from there. I've been tracking it on UPS. It is going to be delivered today. Let's talk about Harris English. So Dylan says, I know you've been high on him the past few events. Yeah. Now I was a little bit disappointed by the just like rollover week Friday that he had at the Texas Open, where he just like gave the cutaway, all that stuff. It was nice to see him bounce back. Maybe it was a little bit of a look ahead, T22. So I think I can forgive him, forgive quickly. Look at all these top 20s, right? Just a bunch of top 20s. Let's look at his history around here. Also, there was something else I wanted to mention about Rory McIlroy. Mixed bag, more bad than good about this. I'm pretty sure, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure this is the first time in Rory McIlroy's career he's playing after the Masters, the week exactly after the Masters. I'm pretty sure about that. So didn't do it last year. Usually takes like a month off. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Oh no, that was US Open. I'm not an idiot. Didn't do it in 22. Didn't do it in there. Didn't do it in the November Masters. No, he usually plays Quail Hollow next, which is like a month later. So he's never played the week after the Masters. He played the Players. That was the different Quail Hollow again. Match play, Quail Hollow. I mean, is that a thing? Are we good, bad, or indifferent about this? This is going to be the first time in his career outside of 2009. 2009 was the last time Rory McIlroy played the week after the Masters. He played this event. He finished 58th. Now that was 15 years ago. But wow, interesting. Rory never plays after the Masters. Looks like our guy Power might be back. Sheamus. Old Sheamus. And this should be a pretty decent spot for him, shouldn't it? Remember that one year? I mean, he also plays kind of well at Pebble. I know I keep like throwing it back to Pebble Beach, but there's very few golf courses that have small greens that don't require distance off the tee. I agree. I think he's definitely trending in the right direction. I've answered most of those, so I'm just going to keep going here. I think you can fire Cantlay confidently. I got no problem with that. Favorite hole to watch in person versus favorite on TV. Watching the tee shots. So I did not realize how steep number 10 is. That does not show up on television. 10 is like straight downhill. You could slide. You get a sled and slide down that thing. Then watching tee shots from behind on that hole is so sick. I like to stand at 9 green and watch approaches come up in there. Awesome. That was my favorite. On TV, I mean, it's probably like the tee shot on 13 or 12. Like, you can't get back there as a patron. So it's kind of hard to really see that. Will you do an NBA prediction? No. I mean, I guess I could, but honestly, have they started yet? And I just don't have the time. It'd be fun. Maybe at some point when I like completely automate everything and I don't know, just probably not going to happen. Biggest surprise at Augusta was how big it is. So when I first got there, I had to go to the content center, which is like where the broadcast stuff happens. And I was like, oh, all right, I just need to get to the press center, or the press building. And it was like, I had to be shuttled for like 10 minutes. And it would be like a 45 minute. It is so, the property is so big. It's so big. Hey, Rick, I noticed last week in the custom model, live guys come up with blank in stroke game, par 3, par 4, par 5. Why is that? So this is still very much a work in progress because they do not have nor always keep the same level of stats. That's the short answer. The long answer is just like with the PGA Tour and just like with the DP World Tour and Korn Ferry and the Senior Tour, I'm now tapping into the official data. So I'm going to have to pull all their scorecards and calculate that myself. I'm hoping to get the live guys on par as much as possible with the PGA level of data by the PGA Championship, right? Which is like the next time we'd see everybody in one spot. But the short answer is the official data feeds are very, very different for all the tours. Oh, thoughts on Henley. Let's look at Russell Henley because I liked Henley. I want to see if he's on Underdog. I think Henley's a good candidate to go beat his. Yeah. Okay. Let me check something real quick. So here's what I'll do. I like Henley this week. I think this is probably one of the better spots for him. He's been playing well. He played fine at the Masters, all that fun stuff. I don't have Armina here to bark, but let me just tell you that this is the Underdog portion of the show. Go out and support Underdog. We already talked about it. Use the code Rick, link in the description. Not only is it draft, it's props, it's rivals, which is matchup. So I had it up because I was already thinking about Russell Henley. Henley over Sahith in round one has my, like, these guys could not be any more different. And as much as I love Sahith, that's a Russell spot, right? That's absolutely a Russell Henley spot. The other one is, what are we doing here? Shane Lowry versus Justin Thomas. I think we go on the Lowry side. That is JT lost. Very, very lost. Fitzpatrick over Morikawa. Okay. Again, I'm not sure Morikawa passes the eye test for me yet. A lot of wipey shots. I'm going with Fitzpatrick there. And then I thought also, I wanted to see if Henley had, he does. Okay. So I would be very cautious with these because they're multipliers and stuff like that. But, Henley to be not first round leader, but within inside the top five after round one, it's a 4.25x multiplier. So it is not particularly it's not something that's very, very likely to happen, right? But that's why you're just very, very small sprinkles. Same thing with Wyndham Clark here. To be inside the top five after round one, that's 3.75. So there's some really good, even Scotty to be worse. I know, again, they're adjusted as they should be. But if Scotty comes out and is in the top five after round one again, I will just tip my cap every possible way. So that's kind of the core of what I'll be working with. And then be able to go from there. Again, link in the description, use the code Rick, support Underdog. They're doing good stuff in the space and I think they deserve it. Peach ice cream, very good. Yes, we've already talked about Fleetwood. Rick, reminder, there is no cut this week. Yeah, did I say something different? There is no cut this week. If I said something different, I apologize. The thing I've said about Jordan Spieth this week is that I just don't even know what he's good at anymore. Is this a good golf course for him? Well, yes, but also in the past, we would have known the type of player that he is. I'm not even sure I know the type of player that he is. Some weeks he's a horrible putter and a great ball striker. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes he drives it well. Sometimes he's miserable. So I just I've got to at least get something from him. Taylor Moore versus him in a 72 match. I would take the Taylor Moore side of things. Thoughts on the NBA playoffs? The Sixers win the whole thing. I have no idea. Oh yeah, daddy. I'm just reading comments now. Are we crazy to buy the dip on JT? I think it's slightly crazy just because it's not only the putting, it's the caddy, it's the hangover. The putting's been miserable. Not that it's ever been great, but this is a guy, I've been very high on Justin Thomas for months and months and months. I thought he was going to win the Masters. Not last week, but from January, I thought he was going to win the Masters. It just feels a lot different now. So I'm worried. Tier one, Scotty or Xander? I mean, I can't believe that's even a question. I guess it has to be Scotty, but I'm worried. Tier two, Cantlay or Zalatoris? Cantlay. Tier three, Cam Young or Lowry? Lowry for me. Can you say anything publicly about the IBM stuff? So I think I can. So I wasn't allowed to take picture. They made that very clear. No pictures, no video. But no, I think I can speak about it. Actually, I think IBM would prefer I speak about it. I just don't think that – I just know I'm not allowed to share photos and stuff. It was pretty cool. So what I got out of it was, the Masters and IBM have this relationship where they do a ton of computing and AI and stuff like that. So the stuff that I was really into is the shot by shot data and the way they overlay that. So we were in this room where they must have had a 30-foot screen. And again, they're reminding you the whole time, no photos, no videos, nothing like that. So the screen's 30 feet wide. I don't know how tall, just an LED screen. And there's a podium with video game controllers. And what they did is they showed us every shot that has been hit at Augusta National since they started tracking this 7 years ago or so. I think 2016 was the first year they did it. And then you could dive into all the metrics. How to play certain holes. You start to see the trends. You can find, we pulled up Jordan Spieth, 12th hole, round four, 2016. And you're seeing that. And you can adjust the layout is you know, better than 3D because you're like, you're going through the whole thing. I was like, do you understand? Like, if you could set me up with a version of this in my house, I would pay any amount of money that you want, and I will showcase this stuff constantly. Now, it's only for the masters, but he was like, ha 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 ha. No. So unbelievable, powerful, cool stuff. What they also said is they're using AI to do a lot more of like the video clipping and stuff. So he was saying that previously when they were doing the every shot recap, so you could get like a 15-minute recap of, Jordan Spieth's round, every single shot, he said with like their full staff, they would be able to do like 15 of those every day. So 15 different golfers. With AI doing it, he said they get every golfer's recap done like basically immediately, which is crazy. So now you can see every golfer. So like that's like the PGA Tour should do that, right? Like now they're not capturing every single shot that guys hit, but that would be very cool to go back and watch. So there was a lot of cool stuff. I wish I could share. I mean, I've got some good footage for the video that I'll put, the behind the scenes video I'll put out on the membership side. But I wish I obviously had more. But yeah, I don't know. It was pretty cool. Did we forget who Wyndham Clark is? Why is he priced so low? Agreed. We did cover that. Okay. I don't know if you can hear that. My stomach is growling. I'm starving. I've got a lot of stuff I got to get caught up on, so I apologize. But yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Go sign up for the newsletter. Go sign up for rickrungood.com. Let's have a great week this week. Talk to you guys soon.